Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As I battle, I guess it's laryngitis, but I took a turn for the worse. I was fully recovered until yesterday in the middle of the show when I decided to just go off on Kyrie Irving. So it's all his fault on why I've taken this turn for the worse. But here I am with you until 1 o'clock this afternoon. The great Jody McDonald will take over. And I'm joined by a guy who I've known for a very long time. He is a great basketball fan. He's a great basketball host. He's on Sirius NBA Radio. And before you say a word, you can talk as much as you want in this interview. Okay, so if you want to give long-winded answers, basically go as long-winded as you want for obvious reasons. And that is Justin Termini, JT with two T's. Justin, how you been?
Well, I'm glad that you prefaced it with that you were sick, because it's been a couple of years since we last spoke. I thought you just sounded a lot worse than the last time we talked, but it's an illness. Good to hear.
Yes, it's an illness. Couple of things. Number one, I always think about you with this. How's the love life? And I haven't talked to you in a while. You got a girlfriend? What's going on?
Headed out to California to check out the girls out there. Unless any New Yorkers want to make a last-ditch effort, you got the DMs are open at Termini Radio, at T-E-R-M-I-N-E Radio on Instagram, also Twitter, but you can slide into the DMs if I like what you see. I'll get back to you.
You know, I'm not surprised you're still single, because one thing there's weird memories I have in life, like these weird things that just I remember. And I remember when I worked over at Sirius. I think I worked at Sirius at the time. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I was at the Fan now. We were watching a playoff game. Me and a bunch of guys, you were there watching a playoff game at a bar. And, you know, there were girls out there, and you showed no interest. You were all focused on talking to me about something. I don't even remember what it was. And I remember as you were talking to me, I was trying to give you eye contact saying, dude, you're a good looking guy. There are girls that clearly want to talk to you. Why are you talking to me? So I think half of your battle is that you're doing the wrong thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I'm too focused on the playoff games. I got to be a little bit more focused on the ladies.
It wasn't the play. I'm telling you, it wasn't even the playoffs. It was me. You were talking to me about, like...
I was talking to you. Well, if you sounded like this, I would have not had a problem. I would have definitely been talking to the women. I wouldn't want to talk to a guy with this voice.
Fair enough. I think Kyrie Irving is a guy that would drive me nuts if I rooted for the Celtics for many, many reasons. You are a Celtic fan. That's what I respect about you. You're a fan of that evil basketball team while covering the NBA in a very fair and balanced way. Does Kyrie Irving drive you nuts, or is that just me projecting what I think I would feel like if I was a Celtic fan?
No, I said it yesterday on the air. It's one of those things like with LeBron, right? The payoff at the end for dealing with all the drama in Cleveland was you knew you were going to compete for a championship, but the day-to-day stuff drove you absolutely insane. Are we keeping him happy? How does he feel today? Who's he going to take a shot at today? And it's the same thing with Kyrie Irving, except the payoff isn't as good. So as a Celtic fan, if this guy leaves at the end of the season, you're devastated because you know it throws the organization into flux a little bit, but from a viewing experience, like, you're a Nets fan. The Nets are fun to watch. They're as rootable as it gets in the NBA. The Celtics are impossible to watch because Kyrie is such an unlikable figure. Last year, the team during the playoff run, as fun as it got, this year they might be the most unwatchable team as far as getting behind them. So, yeah, Kyrie and just the whim. And to be honest with you, just dating back and speaking with people, and you said I could be long-winded.
Yes.
In Vegas, like, you know how sometimes you'll shut off the microphone, you'll talk to people, they're willing to say stuff that they weren't saying on air?
Yeah.
The feeling that you got from players, executives out in Las Vegas was that this guy was gone. He was headed to New York. He was going to team up with Durant. Now, at that time, they didn't have the cap space. Now they have the cap space. So even when Kyrie came out and said he was staying prior to the beginning of the season, I felt he was leaving.
So right now, you feel like the Knicks dream is going to come true, that Durant and Kyrie team up at the Garden next year. You believe that's happening?
Yeah, I think it is. And, you know, I think the Knicks, in order to make a move like this, now, you never trust the Knicks organization, maybe. Like, if Pat Riley went out there and cleared all this cap space with a ridiculous trade where you sent out a talent like Porzingis, you go, he's got something up his sleeve. He must have a guarantee from Durant and Kyrie that they're coming. So I wouldn't be 100% sure, but you would think the only way that you make a move like they made the other day is they have spoken to people behind the scenes, which happens all the time, and they don't have a document signed, but they have a handshake agreement. You would assume that Durant and and somebody else are coming. I would assume that it's Kyrie. And you need it to be Durant needs to be warm. Like, to me,
oh yeah,
like Kyrie and Klay, those two guys are very good players, but they're second-tier max guys. The top-tier max guy is Durant. You need him along with one of the second-tier guys like Kyrie or Klay, Jimmy Butler, etc.
No, I completely agree. I mean, if they don't get Kevin Durant, then if I'm the Knicks, I wouldn't go crazy signing anybody. Then I would use my cap space as a weapon to just continue to try to rebuild, because if you sign, and I like Kemba, I like Klay, these are all good players, they're not delivering a championship to the Knicks. So if I don't get Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard, but I just assume he's not going there, then I wouldn't be that involved in free agency. What say you?
Yeah, it's a year-to-year thing. You sign one-year deals, you keep that cap space open, and eventually you're going to get somebody to go there. But to me, like you brought up Kemba Walker, Kemba's a little bit older than Kyrie, maybe not as talented. I'd rather have him because he's a better team guy, he's a better leader. I mean, I think Kyrie opening his mouth over the past year, like, who the hell comes out and says, I'm a leader every single, you just go out there and do it. Like, granted, Kevin Garnett's a good example. Garnett was in Boston for years. You ever say him he was a leader? He never said it, he just went out and did it. Joel Embiid right now in Philadelphia is playing through injury. That's a leader. He's on the floor playing through injury. Not one time has he said to the media, I'm a leader. No, he's shown you he's a leader by playing through this back injury and putting up big numbers, and he's a likable figure. So I'd rather have Kemba than Kyrie as my second star.
Hey, you know what? We think alike. I feel the exact same way, that Kemba is underappreciated. Number one, he's been the lead guy twice on a team that made the postseason, with him being unquestionably the best player on the team. Number two, his track record is healthier than Kyrie Irving's. He plays more consistently. And you hit the third thing. You don't hear Kemba saying the things Kyrie's been saying. So while you're right, the upside of Kyrie Irving is higher, he's probably the more talented guy, I think Kemba, in a way, JT, gets kind of lost in all this, not appreciated enough.
What do you think that Kemba would be able to accomplish if he's had the teammates that Kyrie has had? The best teammate Kemba Walker has ever played with was Al Jefferson in 2014.
Yeah.
Think about that. I mean, he's been devoid of talent around him, and he's a guy that fans should appreciate. In this day and age where you've got everybody trying to manipulate the system and get out of contracts a year and a half before they've expired, you got Kemba Walker here who wants to go back to a Charlotte organization and has shown nothing but loyalty to an organization that's been incompetent.
Yeah. I mean, so you tell me his best teammate wasn't Nicholas Batum or Marvin Williams? You wouldn't give those guys the edge?
No, I mean, maybe at some point in their career, but as far as how they produce next to him, I would say it's him. I mean, Batum, they gave a $100 million contract to, he's fallen off the face of the earth.
I'm joking, by the way. I was being sarcastic, JT. You didn't pick
up on
that?
Some people I've been on this station before. I've talked to some very dumb hosts. I wasn't sure.
Which ones? I'm curious now. Who do you consider a dumb host?
Oh, I put you on the spot. There's a lot of them. The Beningo, right? You work with him.
Stop it.
Shremsky's horrible.
Stop it. I know you don't think that. We are talking to JT, Justin Termini.
I'm just kidding.
I know you are. See, I get your sarcasm. You don't get my sarcasm. He of NBA Radio. Would you, considering everything you just laid out, would you consider looking at dealing Kyrie before the deadline?
I think you have to. The problem is, what would you get?
I don't know.
Eddie Johnson, my co-host over on Sirius, we discussed this yesterday. What would you be able to get in return for him? Because I think everybody knows that he's going to go to the Knicks. The one deal maybe that you could have looked at was Kristaps Porzingis, right? Because you know he's going to end up there anyway, and maybe the Knicks are like, all right, we can secure him before he ends up, before we risk losing him in free agency. I don't know what you're going to get, because I would say this. If the Celtics are fearful, they're only fearful of the Knicks. They're not fearful of the Lakers. I think that's, that's something that's a pipe dream and just thrown out there by the media. It's the only team they're fearful of is the Knicks. That became a reality with the open cap space. And the other thing is, if he does leave, I mean, he's got to be prepared to. He failed as a leader. He failed as an alpha dog. It's not like he went to a place like Charlotte, which has done an incompetent job. Like, you're even with the Knicks, right? You go to the Knicks, it's like, all right, well, 20 years of failure, the organization has been an issue. He went to Boston and failed there with great ownership, with a great coach, a great front office. Very good young teammates, and he fails in that spot. It's not a good look for him.
No, I'm with you. So you don't buy, because he called LeBron and he made that public. By the way, what was the point of that? Did he really need to tell everybody, yeah, I'm calling LeBron and basically apologizing? You don't buy the idea he would actually go back and be his number two again?
No, I don't buy that, because imagine, like, all the difficulty he had being called the little brother there. Now he's got to go back with his tail between his legs and say, I failed. I can't see that happening. And we all know, Evan, why he made that public. He made that public to say, I was stupid for not listening to you, and these idiots that I'm playing with right now are stupid for not listening to me. So it was a backhanded way of saying, you guys should shut up and listen to me. I'm your leader.
What do you think, and we're talking to Justin Termini, NBA Radio, of Anthony Davis's father coming out and basically ripping the Celtics for not being loyal to Isaiah Thomas?
I mean, it's all Rich Paul designed, correct? I mean, this is LeBron, and it's Rich Paul designing this strategy in order to get him out there. So I'm sure that Rich Paul fed him that information to spit that out there to Ramona Shelburne, and then to back away and say, well, that's not how my son feels. No, it is how your son feels. It's just that he's having everybody else do the talking for him. And, of course, like what Boston did was cold-hearted in that situation. What did you want Danny Ainge to do? Give him $200 million. Isaiah was talking about the Brinks truck. You wanted to give Isaiah $200 million, and it's not like other organizations don't do this. You look at the Knicks and how they've treated Charles Oakley, and he wants to go there. I mean, that's apparently on his list. You look at the Clippers and Blake Griffin, but the Clippers play in warm Los Angeles, so of course you're not going to have an issue out there with guys not wanting to go out there. I think it's just a strategy to keep him away from Boston. And oh, by the way, how hypocritical when his son has a year and a half left on his deal, and they're offering him $240 million, and he's saying that somebody else is disloyal. I mean, this guy's quitting on his teammates with a year and a half left on his contract.
Well, I don't know how they define loyalty. I mean, look, I look at what Toronto did with DeMar DeRozan. I think that's another example. Maybe it can be done differently. You know, maybe you've got to call the player up and give them notice and say, look, we love you, we appreciate you, but there's an opportunity for us to acquire Kawhi Leonard, or an opportunity to acquire Kyrie Irving, or, hey, look, Blake, we appreciate it. We're going to make this move for the long term of this organization. So maybe it can be done in a better way. But the players and the owners are all doing the same thing. Nobody's loyal because it's all about themselves. In the owner's case, winning and putting a better product on the field. And in the player's case, being where they want to be. So how do they define loyalty?
It's beyond me, and there's very few cases of it. I mean, we talked of Kemba Walker. He seems to be a guy that has that. Dirk Nowitzki has a little bit of that in him. But outside of that, I mean, it's just disappeared throughout the league, and it's fun for us because it gives us conversation. Like, it makes it easy for me. I didn't have to watch a game this week. All I had to do was jump on the air and talk about players' comments and who's going to end up where. Free agency and trade deadline are the busiest times of the year for us. But as a fan, it sucks. You get a team that finally is good. You're a Nets fan. All right, so let's say D'Angelo Russell, Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, they continue to grow. Jared Allen, they continue to grow here. You're on the precipice of winning, but every day you've got to deal with rumors about, all right, well, I don't really like it here. I got my eye over here, and then all of a sudden it breaks up. How is that fun as a fan? It's not.
No, you know what's interesting about the Nets, and I'm having a great time watching this team, but when Billy King was here, and I'm not even going to rip him for the horrific Boston trade, but everything always leaked out. There was a rumor, the Nets are in on this, the Nets are in on that, and everything was out there. I feel like they're... Nothing leaks out about the Nets right now. You know, with Sean Marks, and I don't know what their plan is in free agency. I don't nothing because they've done such a great job of letting nothing get out there. I find that interesting about this new administration in Brooklyn.
Yeah, it seems like the same, you know, they're from the San Sean Marks, San Antonio system.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And that's, you know, think about it, the Thunder. What came out of right field, Paul George, Victor Oladipo, right. Out of right field, Serge Ibaka, that deal coming out of right field. You never heard even rumors about it. San Antonio, it's the same thing. You never heard anything coming out of there, and that's sort of carried over to the Nets. Yeah, to the Knicks' credit, I guess you didn't hear any leaks leading up to, like, Porzingis getting traded. It happened on the same day, so they actually did it that way this time.
No, you're right, they absolutely did. For my team, what do you think they're going to do in this offseason? Because I don't know what Caris LeVert is yet. The injury was unfortunate. D'Angelo continues to blossom. They've got the potential two max cap spaces, but probably just one, because I assume they're going to keep Russell around. What's your feeling on what they're going to do come July?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it'd be a free agent destination, right? It's a big market. You probably won't have to deal with the pressure of the city. And yeah, as far as having two available spots, I don't think so, especially with the Dinwiddie move. And the Dinwiddie move was good, but a second best team, I think, in the Eastern Conference since the beginning of December. So if I'm a free agent, I want to play there.
Well, I wish you were. I wish you were Kawhi Leonard. I wish you were Kawhi Leonard, then you'd come play for my basketball team. I'd be thrilled.
You know, then I wouldn't be able to give long-winded answers.
That's a fair point. I want you to be honest with me about something. I am so giddy about the Nets, and I have this fantasy, okay, this sports fantasy, that I get matched up, my Brooklyn Nets get matched up in the first round with the Boston Celtics. Not because I think we'll beat you, but because of the idea of beating you would be one of the greatest sports accomplishments as a fan. To knock off the team that took all of my draft picks, to knock off that team with all the hype would be like a fantasy. Is there any part of you that would be scared of facing the Brooklyn
Nets? A little
bit,
but I'll give you even a better one. Like, I brought this up the other day when I was talking to somebody. All these picks that Boston stole away from them, and you could make an argument that the Nets have some better young talent. D'Angelo Russell, Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, Jared Allen. How much better is Boston's young core of like Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown? Now, I understand they got Kyrie via the trade, but Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. Like, I would still say Tatum is probably the best of that group, but it's not by mountains at this point.
No, I agree.
It's you got comparable talent despite getting all your picks stolen.
Well, you know what it shows you? It shows you that while it's great to pick at the top of the draft, it's great to pick in the top five, you can find really good players everywhere. Kawhi Leonard was 15th. Giannis Antetokounmpo was 15th. We know where Karras was taken. Jared Allen's in the 20s. And so it's more about picking the right guys than where you're picking. And I think in ways Sean Marks has shown you that.
Yeah, you know, I agree. It's the same thing in Atlanta. They got John Collins at 19, Kevin Huerter this year at 19. And if Magic did his job picking early in the draft, they'd already have Anthony Davis, but he took Lonzo Ball instead of Jason Tatum.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Where do you think Anthony Davis ends up? I think we agree he's not going to be traded by the deadline, but when it's all said and done, do you think he gets his wish and ends up in L.A.?
He probably does, but I'll tell you what, I don't care where he ends up as long as it's outside of Los Angeles, because I'm getting sick of the power plays being put on by LeBron specifically, but by the players. I don't think it's good for the league. I understand why the players want to do it, but I would like to see LeBron not get his way since he thinks he runs the league. Rich Paul, I know a lot of people are getting sick of the way that he has sort of commandeered power, and the organizations are. So I would give a lot of credit to New Orleans if they said, you know what, this deal might be slightly better than some of the other deals that we can get out there, but we're going to send them in a different direction anyway. Because by 2020, and if the Lakers are counting on signing Anthony Davis, then what, are they going to waste 2 years of LeBron this year and next and save cap space for Davis when LeBron's 36? That doesn't sound like a realistic plan.
Who comes out of the East, in your opinion?
Right now it's looking like Milwaukee. Like, Toronto's got significant issues. They started out hot. They have not won a big game with Lowry and Kawhi in the lineup together in a significant amount of time. Over the last 2 months, I think they got the sixth best record in the Western Conference. So I would say Milwaukee right now. You don't count out Boston. Philadelphia, I thought, didn't have enough shooting or depth, but they look like a juggernaut right now. Beating Golden State the other day, 5-2 during a very difficult stretch. So for the first time in a long time, it's a toss-up, which is fun.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I felt that way coming into the year, that this was going to be a fun year in the East, even though the likely winner gets destroyed by Golden State. At least we've got this great drama in the Eastern Conference, so it should be a lot of fun. Justin, I do appreciate you coming on. Your long-winded answers was perfect. Gave me a little bit of a break, and it's great catching up, my friend.
Yeah, if you want me to go the rest of the way, you can take off. I'll go to, 1 o'clock today?
You know what? It's actually not the craziest idea. I'll keep you posted. I may have you run into New York City. Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm going to go talk to some ladies now.
All
bye-bye.
Right. See you later. Justin Termini, JT of Sirius NBA Radio.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.